really, it's fun to be here. I've had a great time this weekend. I don't know whether it was more fun with the pastors or the tail end of the Sea of Galilee or the kitchen yesterday for noon. They were all just wonderful occasions, and what a treat for me to be here with you and have this opportunity. I've appreciated your pastor so much in the year and a half or so, or maybe 2 years since we first met, and what a delight to be with you. If you have your Bibles, it's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. And if you would turn there to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read several verses in just a moment. What I'd like to do this morning is to share with you the gospel truth on how to get what you want guaranteed from the teaching of Jesus himself. Now, doesn't that get your attention? I mean, if you didn't come to worship with a list, I'm telling you, it's time to start making your list of all the things you want. I can look back across the years, and I can remember girlfriends, and sports letters, and grades, and success, and money, and friends, and healing, and sweepstakes, and lotteries, and revenge, and vindication I could have had, and I would have had, if only I knew how to get what I wanted guaranteed.
Hallelujah.
And I'm pretty sure that you could do the same. Some of you, even now, have already begun compiling your mental list of the things you're going to get if this guy knows what he's talking about and he can really tell you how to get what you want guaranteed. And I would encourage you, go ahead. You can multitask. Go ahead. Make your list. Okay? Make your list. You can listen to me and you can be making your list if you didn't come with your list. We're approaching Christmas season, and children make their lists for the, you know, for that other guy. So you can begin. You start making your list, and I, at the end of this, in just a few moments, we're going to come back to that list because I want to tell you about how to get what you want guaranteed. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Well, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord Jesus, and it is his good news to us. Well, I want to try to tell you how to get what you want guaranteed, but I want to take a little bit different approach than maybe you would be expecting as we think about these verses we just read from Matthew's Gospel. But I think it's an approach that is more in tune with the heart of Jesus and with the context of Matthew's Gospel in which these rather famous verses appear. So, how to get what you want guaranteed. And remember, you're supposed to be compiling your list, right? Okay, you're thinking about some of those things. It's okay. You can just do it. You're not daydreaming. It's all right. Now, what I'd like you to imagine is a house of prayer. All right? A house of prayer. Not too difficult for Word of Prayer International Church, right? I want you to imagine a house of prayer. And I want you to imagine that in this house of prayer there are three windows. And We're going to open up each window and we're going to look inside and we're going to see something about this kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about here. And the first window, we're opening it now, and it's a window on our human experience. And as we look through this window in the house of prayer and see what we can see, there are more than two things, but I want you to notice that there are two things you are sure to see if you look through this window of human experience into the house of prayer. And there are two very important things about all of us as human beings. You're going to see human deprivation, and you're going to see human ingenuity. Now don't worry, I'm going to explain fully what I'm talking about here. Look through that window on human, into the house of prayer, on human experience, on our common human experience, and you're going to see human deprivation. Why is it that when I say how to get what you want guaranteed, immediately you're drawn to that first phrase, how to get. It's like there's this huge magnet. You're drawn to that. How to get. Why is that? Well, if you'll excuse my poor grammar, it's because we don't got. I mean, we're drawn irresistibly to how to get because, quite frankly, we don't got. And this expresses a basic fact of all human experience. We want desperately to know how to get because, in fact, we don't got. Now, let me tell you about the time in my life when this basic fact of human experience came home with great power. It was the first week we brought our first baby girl home from the hospital. I mean, all during that week, we were well schooled in the basic human experience that people don't got. Human beings don't got. And how did we know? Well, she cried. She didn't cry all the time, but she cried enough to get our attention. And we quickly discerned three different types of crying, which expressed three different ways in which she didn't have, in which people don't got. She cried for a bottle, for hunger, thirst, for appetite that craved satisfaction. She was hungry and so she cried. She cried for a diaper. She needed a change. She had made a mess and she needed help to deal with it. And she cried for attention. She needed someone to listen to her and to care for her and to pick her up and to hold her and to assure her and to protect her and to take her to places she needed to go. During that first week of parenthood at home, we learned all about this needy little bundle of humanity. We understood those cries and we responded to them. She taught us all about the human condition, which is deprivation. Now, she's all grown up today. She's 27 years old. She's been married for about 4 years to a fine young man who is now one of our sons in our family. But guess what? All grown up. She's mature. She's more mature than I was at 27, I can tell you that. But guess what? She still has those same basic needs. Occasionally, she still cries. There are different ways to cry when you're 27 years old than when you're, you know, 2 days old. But she still cries occasionally. And sometimes she cries literally tears. She has appetites and desires and longings that need satisfaction. She cries for a bottle. She still wants her bottle. She needs a change every once in a while. she gets into a jam. Life has a way sometimes of becoming just one big mess, and you don't know how to deal with it. You need help from outside of yourself and your own ability. That's a diaper. And she needs to know that somebody cares. Somebody's listening to her. Somebody is there for her. That's attention. She's an adult, but she has needs. And still, she must cry out of that same sense of need as she did when she was just days old. It's the human condition. We're all there. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, because in fact, that's the way God made us. He is the Creator, and we are creatures. And the first important thing about being a creature is that, you know, you're not an independent operator. You didn't make it all, you don't provide it all, and you're not an island to yourself. You were created to need this one who created you, and he turns out to be a wonderful heavenly Father. You were created to live in interdependence with some others who, it turns out, you discover are your brothers and sisters in God's household. We were made this way, to depend upon power and ability and resource outside of ourselves. And so, out of our need, we can't hardly help. When somebody says, how to get, we're all ears. We want to listen. We want to hear. How to get. It's that part of human condition that I'm calling human deprivation. But there's a second reason why we can't hardly help but focus on how to get. And as we look through that window that window that exposes the human condition into this house of prayer, the second reason why we can't hardly help but focus anywhere but on how to get is what I'm calling human ingenuity. And what I mean is that we have this sense that there must be something we can do about those basic human needs. I mean, after all, we're supposed to grow up, right? And we're supposed to be able to take care of ourselves and to handle things and figure things out. We should, at some point, just kind of get our stuff in order and get our life together. So we want to know how to get it done. And again, we come by this naturally. God made us in His own image, didn't He? And God is a creator. God does stuff. All kinds of stuff. Wonderful stuff. Surprising stuff. Stuff you would never have thought He could do. And God made us to mirror His likeness and His creativity and His ingenuity. So, of course, we're eager to know how. We're convinced that there must be a how out there. There must be some kind of secret that we could master that, if mastered, would calm our crying needs and change us from people who don't got to people who have. And indeed, I'm going to tell you about one thing that we can do. But it's very different than we would tend to think. And we'll come to that in just a moment. Well, that's the first window that we've opened. We've looked into this house of prayer, and we can see the human condition. We have these needs. And so we're drawn like a magnet to that first phrase, how to get. And we just have this sense that there must be something we can do about it. So we want to know how to get. And we're compiling our list, aren't we? You know, don't forget, we got our list. What are the things that are pressing and urgent and our sense of need? What are those things? It's okay, we can multitask. But, okay, now, second window. Let's open another window in this house of prayer. Go around on the other side. Open that window. And this is a window on our human limitations. And I want to suggest that we could resist the pull, the magnetic pull, to look at that first phrase, how to get. Resist the attraction and force ourselves to focus on the second part, what you want. Can you go there with me? We're looking through the window. I want you to focus on what you want. And I'd like you to think about some of the things that you have really wanted in your life. I mean bad. Some of those things that you thought, gotta have it. Gotta have it. Can you think of some things like that? Isn't it true that you have often wanted things that you later realized you don't really want at all? I mean, if you had really known what you know now, you would have known how foolish it is to want that. Isn't it true that you have just longed for things? I mean, you've thought you might not die, but you might fall into a persistent vegetative state if you didn't have those things. And then you got them. You wonder, what was that about? That didn't do for me anything like I thought it would do for me. When I was 8 or 9 years old, it was about this time of year, and I began to long in the worst way for a Mattel electric rifle range. Target out there, plastic rifle, battery powered, it shot a beam of light, and if you hit the target, an alarm sounded. I'm telling you, I had to have it. It was an existential experience of deep deprivation. My life, my young life, would be short-circuited and cut off unless I had a Mattel electric rifle range. Well, my parents were wonderful parents, and they bought me a Mattel electric rifle range, and I'm here to tell you that all was well in the cosmos for 45 minutes until I broke it. I remember as a sixth grader, I had the hots for Diane Jones. Now, I hope there's nobody here whose name is Diane Jones, but I'm telling you, I was awakened to this whole new world that I could scarcely imagine existed, and I was in pursuit. And I never got Diane Jones, whatever it means to get. It probably then different than what it means today. But I remember feeling that I just had to have a girl. It would be like heaven on earth to have a girl to call my own. And I really believed that until I got one. When I was a young adult, I remember thinking that getting into certain schools or certain programs or accomplishing certain goals that I could identify were so important. And I remember thinking clearly that way about a lot of things, but now I can't even remember most of the things I thought that way about. That's how important they turned out to be, or maybe that's how forgetful I'm getting in my older age. And guess what? I'm ashamed to tell you this morning, but I have to tell you because I try to be honest. There are days now in middle age when I'm still tempted to think, if only this could happen. If only I could get there. If only this would work out. The satisfaction would be incredible. And usually, sooner or later, my experience with these things in the past comes alongside, puts its arm around me and says, David, I'm here to tell you that what you think you want is nowhere near what it's cracked up to be. What if we do not really know what we truly need without help? So that we're all the time wanting things that if we really knew, we would never want. What if our sense of deprivation, this sense that, you know, we're just kind of missing something, all of those needs, leads us astray, deceives us, so that we fix our attention and go after things that are really wrong and destructive? You know, this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is sharing, in which these verses we've read appear in Matthew's gospel, is full of examples like this. And let me just give you one common example, and all of us are going to be able to identify with this. Somebody hurts you. Somebody says something that isn't true. It's unkind. It's totally undeserved. I mean, you know, you've really been ripped. What do you want? I mean, what do you really want? At first, you know, first your wants are modest. You just like a little distance, you know, you want to stay away because that's a dangerous person. Who knows what she might say? Who knows what he might do? It hurt this time. It could be devastating next time. You want a little bit of distance. But, you know, then you would really like for that person, for his own good, of course, you would like for that person to have just a little bit of the medicine that you've had. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, that's what you want. It seems right. It seems fair. You might even be able to convince yourself that you should pray in that way. No, for his own good, Lord. And, you know, a little time passes and nothing seems to happen, and we're hanging on to that hurt, and we're kind of nursing that wound a little bit and kind of justifying these thoughts. And, you know, we're a little disappointed that God has let us down because they seem to be doing fine. In fact, the longer time goes on, the better off they are and the worse we feel. I mean, all we want is a little justice in the world. We would like that person to get just a taste of this injustice, this injury, this crime, this injustice that has been done to us. But wanting that tears us up on the inside, and it just makes us miserable. And if the day ever comes that something happens to that other person, guess what? It's not going to be satisfying. And on it goes. And that's the way it is with a lot of the things that we want and we desire in our lives. We long for them. We feel desperate about such things, only to find out that they're not good for us, or that wanting them ends up making us feel worse than before we wanted them. I'm suggesting that if we can focus on that second phrase, what you want, it might just dawn on us that perhaps we don't know our real needs well enough to desire what is truly good. And so we have this common recurring experience. We get what we want, and it isn't what we want. We get what we want, and it lets us down. It might even destroy us. We know it works this way with our children. How are we doing? We know it works this way with our children. I mean, can you imagine what a disaster it would be if a toddler, or even a a teenager got whatever he or she wanted? You know, imagine this little toddler. I'm having such a great time being in the Johnson's home, and we've got little Ian there. I guess he's a toddler. He's in junior church. Okay, so we can talk about him. You know, I mean, can you just imagine a little toddler, you know, toddling up, or, well, he's a little older than a toddler, but walking up to the gas range, and he has enough ingenuity to find a little stool or something to stand on. He stands on, and he turns the knob because he likes the whishing sound of the gas, and oh, by the way, he also is fascinated with fire. I mean, you just know that someday there's going to be a real blast in that home. Yes? Or even a teenager, and I'm really sorry, but you know, what a disaster if every adolescent had no one ever to say no to anything that he or she wanted, because after all, it's not cool to say no, and, you know, who are we to make the decisions for them, and we would hate to stifle their creativity and, you know, their budding curiosity and all this kind of thing. I mean, that would be disastrous, really. Neither toddler nor teenager is in a position to understand what they really need. But then, it's exactly the same story with all of us in relation to our Heavenly Father. Now, He created us, and He knows us through and through, and He loves us utterly. He knows what's what. He knows His stuff. And we don't really know what we need. And so we find ourselves wanting things and striving after things that will not do it for us. That's the second window in this house of prayer that shows us human limitation. And now, the third window. We're going to go around the other side. And we're going to open this window, and we're going to look from another angle into the house of prayer. And in this window, we can see the divine gifts. We can peer in and we can see some of what God gives. And here's the point this morning. Do you want to know how to get what you want? You do, don't you? Here's how. Want the right things. Yearn only for the best. Long for what you know a good God, a loving Heavenly Father, most delights to give His children. That is the one thing we all can do and must do. We can desire the best things. Well, what are the best things? I'm glad you asked. What gifts does God our Father want to give us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, and that His Holy Spirit is all the time working so that we might actually receive them? Well, that's a big question, but let me close by telling you about three huge things that identify pathways or open up huge pathways that will lead us to what we really need and in fact, what we really want. The first thing is God gives Himself. The French philosopher, mathematician Pascal said, this observation, you might not know the name Pascal, but there is this God-shaped vacuum inside of every person. We were made to live God-centered lives. God present within us. God present with us is the most basic need every human being on planet Earth has. St. Augustine said, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until our hearts find their rest in Thee. Life in God, knowing God, loving God, learning life as God intended life to be from the inside out, from a kind of immersion in who God is. That's it. If you long for God, you will have Him. You who are parents, you know that the best gift you could ever give your children is what? It is yourself. It is your time. It is your presence in their lives. Well, where did you learn that best instinct of parenthood? You learned it from the one who is parent par excellence. In fact, Luke's version of these verses has it this way. If you earthly parents who claim no sainthood legitimately know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's the best gift. God gives Himself. God opens up the door of His kingly rule, His kingdom. And that's the second huge way to answer that question. What are the best things? The best things have to do with the kingdom of God. His rule over all of reality. You know, much of our need, I'm tempted to say all of our need, and all of our pain, and all of the difficulty that we have in life, traces its way, one way or another, back to this basic fact that we live in a world, we're immersed in a reality that does not recognize God as King. The tides and the currents of this world flow contrary to God's will for us. Now think about that. If we were created for a life as only God intended it, for a life that had God as its center, for a life that listens to how God designed life to be lived and to be experienced, if that's essential to our well-being, if our needs and our wants all trace back to that kind of reality, then living in this world will always leave us in a world of hurt. Because the world is not like that. And so what we need is not to identify the needs and the desires and the things that that alien world around us tries to convince us are real. What we need most of all is to understand and to live a life as a part of another world. God's world. God's kingdom. That's the gospel, by the way. That's what Jesus stood up one day when the time was right and He began to preach. What did He begin preaching? The time has come. The kingdom of God is real. It is present. It is manifesting itself. And you are invited to participate. That's the good news. What is the chief? And so in response to that good news, what did Jesus say we ought to do? He says, unless you are born from above, you have no clue. You won't know about this new world, this new way of being human, this new way of doing life. Jesus said, unless you turn around and become like little children, you're not going to have a clue of what life is all about. In the model prayer He gave His followers, what's the first petition? Thy kingdom come. Thy will, Thy way be done on earth as it is in heaven. If your heart is set on a kingdom way, it'll be yours. It'll be yours. And then the third thing, kind of bringing it all together. God reveals this true way of life. How? In Jesus. In Jesus' life. In Jesus' teachings. In Jesus' person. I mean, what does it mean to be a child of God? Look at Jesus. What does it mean to love God and to serve God and to enjoy God? To trust God when it looks like there's no reason to trust God. When you're lonely, when you're abandoned, when it's not working out. What does it mean to trust God and to receive what God would offer? Look at Jesus. That's what it means. He shows us. And we're looking at Jesus not only for its entertainment value, not just to get a good show or simply to receive an inspiring illustration of how it maybe might could be, but we're looking to Jesus, and as we do, we will hear Jesus say, "Why don't you just come along?" And God is all the time working to help us say, "Yes, that's a good idea. I think I'll just start coming along." And as we do, this amazing thing begins to happen. God somehow, I can't explain it, God somehow begins to reprogram the hard drive of our life, the circuitry of our lives, so that the only way of life that will seem right, the only way of life that will seem good, the only way of life that will correspond to what we now know are our deepest needs, is a kingdom way of life. And it's not going to be about identifying all the rules and trying real hard to keep them, or identifying all the ways it's possible for us to mess up and, you know, trying to avoid that. No, it's about becoming a new kind of people who are regularly able, not perfectly, but who are regularly, consistently able to do what pleases the Father and to do the kinds of things that Jesus would do if Jesus were in our shoes. And so now we're ready for the third word. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You know, if you think about it, God is the owner of that word. He's the only one who has what it takes to utter it and to mean it and to make it happen. I mean, where else can you look in our kind of world and find anything totally guaranteed? Well, here it is. How to get what you want guaranteed. Want what God wants for you. Want what God wants for our world. Seek that. Yearn for that. Long to lay hold of that. Even if you don't even know what that might mean or what that might involve, still make that the supreme object of your desiring. And Jesus says, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Guaranteed. It's what we know God most wants to give. Himself. His kingdom. His way of life. His power to live it. His gifts alone. That matches how He has made us to be. Guaranteed. Yes? Yeah. All right, I didn't forget. What about the list? I've talked long enough, and so you've had long enough. You've been writing your list, right? You've been compiling it. You've been thinking about it. Sometimes maybe you wondered, is this God or is this the devil? Or is this my bedeviled mind, my confused state, or whatever? You've got your list. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe nobody's wondering about that. But you got this list of things that you would surely get if only you knew how to get it. So let me tell you what I'm learning about those lists. All right? All of our desiring, all of our wanting, all of our yearning tells us we are needy people. All of our desiring, all of our wanting, all of our yearning is really an invitation to receive what God wants most to give. And that's Himself. And that's His kingdom. And that's His way of life. If you're a committed follower of Jesus, and you've been walking along for a while, that's great. But you're going to have your list. I mean, there are going to be those things. Because you still live in this world, and the tides and the currents are going in a way opposite to God's way. You're going to have your list. Your desires and your wants are an invitation to draw closer, to welcome new depths of companionship with your Lord, to find out how it is that His way can engage more profoundly, more richly, more abundantly. If you never got specifically the things you know to identify, but instead you got that richer, fuller, deeper, more expansive experience with God, you're probably not even going to remember what was on the list. If you have not been following Jesus, you're going to have those desires and your wants, and in fact, your life might really be just a big bundle of needs. And it's one of the ways. God didn't give you that. A lot of it, I don't know all the explanation for that, but that's your situation, that's your condition. And the good news is that through it and around it and under it and above it and in all kinds of ways, God is calling out to you, and He's inviting you just to find Him and to start walking along and see how it goes and see if it isn't true that one step after another, the best you can with the help of some others, doesn't lead you to some place where, again, you'll have a hard time remembering some of the things on that list. Or you'll see very clearly that some of the things on that list would have been the worst things and not the best. As best I know, that's how to get what you want. Guaranteed. Will you pray with me? And I want to just lead you in prayer. I know that we're going to receive from the Lord's table. What a wonderful time. I mean, I've just scratched the surface, if that, of all the best that God offers. And it's all here. You know, Himself. This is my body broken, given. This is my blood that I poured out for you. Himself, His way, and all that that means. I mean, what a perfect way to receive. So let me just lead us in prayer, and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your kind and generous way of sharing how it really is with our world and with us. And Lord, what an amazing thing to be in a place like this and to think about these kinds of things, to reflect on our lives and on our different lists of things, our very different and yet in some ways very common human experiences. And Lord, I'm praying with some of these your beloved children who have not been walking with Jesus. And Lord, I want to voice a yes to your call to come along and to see if you don't lead to a place where real life, wonderful life, isn't found. And I know some others, Lord, are your people, and they have walked with Jesus for a really long time, and life just has a way of doing what it does, and so we also have our lists, and we want to hear through the noise of those wants and needs and desires your voice saying, come in a little nearer and a little deeper and let me minister to you and share with you. And Lord, we would say yes to that invitation as well. Have your way with us, Lord. Lead us to what is best, as you alone know what is best. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know for a fact that some of us here today, is God's dealing with us specifically about what needs to be done in our lives and how we need to change and what really matters. And what I want you to know today is this. Just in case you think, can I really know? And, you know, I'm a grown individual. I'm set in my ways. How can I know? And do I really need to pray? When Jesus came to the cross, he had the same struggle as Bishop Kendall's talking about. He said, Lord, it's my desire, it's my want not to have to go to the cross for Jack and for Eric and Philip and for you. And that was still his struggle right before he left. But he said, but not my will, but your will be done. And so he went to the cross. And so I'm here to tell you today, Jesus had to trust the Father, one of his last acts that he did before he left this planet. And we have to trust the Lord. Say, well, I would like to do this, but it may be too painful, or it may hurt, or I may not be smart enough, or, you know, whatever your excuse is. Just lay them down today and say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. To do whatever it is that you want me to do. Today we're going to take communion, and the juice that we serve represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread that we serve represents his broken body, which was broken for you. If you're visiting today, you're welcome to take communion with us. We do ask that you would search your heart. Maybe today there's someone that you can relate to that's hurt you and you're hanging on and you're saying, Lord, I'm waiting on justice. Well, today justice will come whenever you say, I forgive them through faith in Jesus Christ. And not only to forgive them, but to say, and I bless them in Jesus' name. And just say it by faith. You don't have to worry about feeling it today. You can just say it by faith. I bless them in Jesus' name. Or maybe it's a situation. But search your hearts right now is what we ask in Jesus' name. And just lay it down on the altar and say, Lord, I give it to you today. Because I'm getting ready to come and receive what you've done for me. I'm coming to your table today, Lord, because I want to receive forgiveness. And I want to remember what was done for me. And I want everything to be right in here. And God will give you those desires. The right desires. That you want and that you deserve through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the finished work that Jesus did upon the cross. We thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son for us. And we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the cross and to the pain of the cross. In yielding your body as a living sacrifice and becoming the Lamb of God for us. What an example. And today, Lord, whatever is not that's within us is not Christ-like, we lay it down at the altar and we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us and help us and make us whole in Jesus' name. And receive us today as we come and receive communion provided by the Lamb of God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. If you will come and receive your communion today, and we're going to take communion up front today instead of going back to your seat. So if you would just take your communion and spread out across the front, and we'll receive communion after.